Yep, she knows sports. Check out Brittany and Princess on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This duo gives it to you straight with no chaser. If you can handle it, tune in and get your sports news, opinions, and so much more every week from She Knows Sports. Intensity is not a perfume. Join us Thursdays on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Hello, hello, beautiful people. You're listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. I am your host, Brittany Jones, along with my wonderful co-host, Miss Princess Cooper. Miss Princess, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. I love Thursdays with you. It's been an awesome day. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, thank goodness, where we just start, thank goodness it's Thursday. Come on, everybody. Right. I'll be happy it's Thursday. We got Thursday night football coming on. We got some good NBA games coming on. And it's one day closer to the weekend. We can enjoy ourselves,
right.
Kick our feet off, kick our shoes off, relax, do what we need to do.
Amen. I love it.
But before we get started, I want to tell everyone who's listening, if you are brave out there, if you got a question for us, if you want to challenge us in any way, call us at 347-637-3286. And let's see what you could do. All right, Princess,
that's
you
right.
Ready to get into some sports?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. So first, we got to get into this NBA because something amazing just happened. Mr. Steph Curry of the San Francisco Warriors just broke the all-time three-point record against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. That is like the best way you could do it. Like, he broke that record in basketball, in the home of basketball. But prior to Steph Curry, Ray Allen had the record for a while. Can we honestly say that Steph Curry is the greatest shooter, or can we now say that Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time, or could it be due to certain situations?
Wow. If you ask me, and I've seen a lot of basketball in my 50 years, if you ask me, I'd have to say he's the greatest pure shooter that I've ever seen. And I've watched some of the greats and the Reggie Millers and Ray Allen. I've seen them, mm-hmm. and I've seen that pure shooting by them. But to see how Steph Curry has taken it to the next level, to me, is just amazing. I think he makes it look easy, and I think he's spoiled us, and we're spoiled by what he's mm-hmm. been able to do. He's made mm-hmm. half-court shots look easy. You know, I saw him
yep.
the other day. He was with the Brooklyn Nets or at their Coliseum, and he went up in the stands coming out of the tunnel. And so he was at the left-hand side of the goal, in the back of the goal, probably in the second section of the stands, and he shot the ball mm-hmm. over the goal, the back of the goal in. But to say yes, he's the best shooter that I've seen. He's the one that has tickled my fancy as a long-distance shooter and a three-point
uh-huh.
A marvel as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I mean, it took me a while to really consider this because, you know, I was sitting here like, no, it's the new NBA. They can't really foul no one. You can't play hard in NBA. You got a lot of wide-open shots, more than what you did back then. But then I was looking at Steph Curry one day, and I was just like, the way he shoots this ball, he has one of the quickest releases I think I've ever seen during my time. And I grew up watching Ray Allen, the tail end of Reggie Miller, you know, the Tony Kukoc's and these three-point specialists. And I was just looking like he literally just throws the ball up. It barely has a follow through. And it's very difficult for defenders to block his shot. Very difficult. And I was just recently, let me look at some documentary films from, you know, before me with the Larry Birds. Because at one point in time, Larry Bird was considered the best shooter or the purest shooter of all time. And I was just looking at his shot. Then I was looking at Steph Curry. Steph Curry's shot is just that amazing. And then for him to break this record, I think they said 300 or 400 games faster than anybody else. That in itself amazes me. Because think, Steph Curry is what, only 34, something like that? You know, Ray Allen didn't break the record until he was almost retired. Steph Curry still has another 3 or 4 years to go. So, yeah, Steph Curry, he's definitely, in my mind, the greatest shooter of all time. I didn't want to say that in the beginning. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Didn't want to say that in the beginning. But now that I sat down, got some sense in my head, yeah, he is definitely the greatest pure shooter in his lifetime. And the crazy thing about it is, although his brother is not as, I don't know, he doesn't shoot like him, his brother is the one that has the highest percentage, which is crazy. He doesn't take as many three-point shots as Steph Curry. But I'm like, this Curry family is just something else. Started with Dell Curry, Steph Curry, Seth Curry, and then they have a sister who also was playing basketball at one point in time. So, yeah, this family is really, really incredible. Congratulations to Steph Curry. And I know his career is not done. So it's going to be many, many years before someone else comes up behind him trying to break this record. So this is going to be really, really interesting, really interesting.
Yeah, congratulations to him. Congratulations to Del Curry and how he's raised two very good NBA players, one with the 76ers and one with the Golden State Warriors. And Steph Curry, I heard when he broke it that, you know, he did it 5 years earlier than Ray Allen did it. That is a lot of shooting. That's a lot of making. And congratulations. A job well done, sir, for sure.
Yes, very well done. But, you know, I got to step away from the NBA for a little bit because we got to talk about college football. Recently, this past Saturday, they announced the Heisman Trophy winner. And it was just between a few people. I know my team's quarterback was up there, C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. But the ultimate winner was Bryce Young out of Alabama. Do you feel he was deserving of this award, or did you think someone else should have won the award?
Well, you know, I'd like to have seen a couple more people come to New York. Kenneth Walker from Michigan State, the running back for sure, but they got it right on this one. Bryce Young stepped up in the biggest moments on the biggest team, and I think one of the best college football conference right now, and that is the SEC. I don't think it's always been that way, but Bryce Young deserved that. And there are a lot of times he made it look easy. But I not only love his play, I love his demeanor while he's playing. He never gets too revved up, too high or too low. And congratulations to him. But, yes, they got it right. They got it right.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree. You know, from the very beginning of the season, I was watching Bryce Young. The kid can play. He's a star in college, and I feel like he's definitely going to be a star in the NFL. Of course, you know, you always got to go through your trials and your obstacles, you know, when you just start in a new league or whatnot. But he's definitely a star. He's very, very deserving of this award. I mean, let's think. He had, 4,322 passing yards, 43 touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions. That in itself, only 4 interceptions. I think C.J. Stroud was almost at 4,000 passing yards, if I can remember. But it wasn't too many quarterbacks that had those numbers. You know, so, and he plays, like I said, in the toughest league or toughest conference, I'm sorry, in college football. The kid works hard. He was very well deserving. Whole team all the way to the national championship. The only time will tell with that one, which is going to be very interesting towards the end of the year. So, but this is definitely exciting. Exciting sports, exciting football, so forth.
Yeah, it's exciting for college football. It's exciting for Alabama. You know, they've had some, you know, was it just last year? No, who was the Heisman Trophy last year? I can't remember.
Yes.
But I don't think
Devontae
it was Mac Jones. Oh, it was Devontae Smith. That's right.
Yeah,
so
receiver.
I was thinking it was a Mac. Yeah. So Alabama is a machine in college football now, formidable, and a number one team, and they showed that in the SEC championship game. Congratulations, though, to Bryce Young for leading this team to another number one spot and, again, to the Final Four. And I think the voters got it right.
Absolutely got it right. For once, because there's been some things that went on during the course of the college season, and this committee may be a little bit different. I was really questioning, but they got this one right, I will say. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation, I guess, for another day. But what we're going to do now, we want to take a break, all right, because when we come back, we got to get into the NFL. There's a lot going on in the NFL right now. Plus, it's Thursday night football. We got to talk about that, all right? So just for the listeners out there, again, if you have any questions, you want to make a statement, you just want to talk to us, call us at 347-637-3286. So you are listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
CampLyman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. We built from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get off, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLyman.com.
Welcome back to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess. And right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, I'm your host, Brittany Jones, along with my wonderful, amazing co-host, Miss Princess Cooper. Miss Princess, I want to get into something a little bit different, if that's okay with you.
That's okay.
So what are we going to do? Because there's quite a few number of NFL players that are a little older. So I have a list of a couple of NFL players, and I just need you to tell me if it's time for them to hang up their cleats or if they can, you know, keep it going for another so many years. So the first one I have, if most people don't know, is Adrian Peterson. Okay, he's currently with the Seattle Seahawks. He recently signed to their, I guess, practice squad a few weeks ago, and then they elevated him to the 53-man roster. What do you say? Can he still play? Should he still be playing? Or is it time for him to hang up the cleats?
Well, Brittany, I'd have to say, because he's still scoring touchdowns, that he can still play. Now, I haven't seen him, you know, break off any long runs, and I haven't seen him, you know, really just maneuver through the trenches from the offensive line to the defensive line. But he's still scoring some touchdowns. And if Seattle considers that they can use him right now, I say yes. But is he at the end? Has he played more than he's going to play? Yes. Is he knocking at that door? The fact that he made our list lets everybody know that he's definitely at the end of his career. But I'm going to give him a contender for right now. And he's on a losing team, and I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs. But if I think he's contributing good minutes, and he's definitely scoring. I know he scored one or two touchdowns, so I'm going to say contender for right now.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to hang up the cleats. I don't really know why come back and play. He's not the same, and I mean rightly so. He's 36 years old. He has a lot of miles as a former big time running back. They ran him a lot. But we all know he's a future Hall of Famer. I believe he's fifth all-time in rushing yards in the history of the NFL and fourth in rushing touchdowns. So he has done his due diligence. And granted, he may love the game. I'm not exactly sure why. It looks like Kay Walker saying, hey, he may have some bad financial investments, which may be forcing him to play. Maybe that's a possibility. I don't know. But I think it's time to hang it up because, of course, you know, with age, your body takes a toll. You know, he was Superman for a long time. But I think it's definitely time to hang up those cleats. Absolutely.
Yeah, Brittany, you know, I think it taints, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I think it taints his legacy to still be going from team to team. He was with the Tennessee Titans, mm-hmm. and they released him after a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, I don't know. The Seahawks picked him up, but the Seahawks was obviously in need of a running back, you know, in the rotation, or they wouldn't have picked him up either. So I don't think it's good for his legacy. And Kay mm-hmm. Walt, I believe in everything that he provides for us. So, you know, and financial investments will probably do that to you when you're needing some additional income. And Brittany, you mm-hmm. and I both know if we've done what we need to do and we've made the millions that we've made and we've retired once or we've gone home once and we come back out, there's got to be another mm-hmm. reason besides the fact that you're missing that locker room chatter.
Yeah, but my concern there is what is his, I don't know how to properly put this, but why can't he do something else? You know, you're Adrian Peterson, future Hall of Fame football player. You know, you could be on ESPN. I'm pretty sure there are people dying to have you do endorsement deals. So there's other moves that you could potentially make as far as making more money if that is the case, just because of who he is. If he's just saying, I want to come back because I love the game, sure. But he also has to be mindful, hey, you have kids. This is taking a toll on you even more on your body. So I think it's after this season, he definitely needs to hang up the cleats, officially retire, you know, but we'll see what happens. If he tries to come to the Eagles next year, I'm going to call Jeffrey Lurie and we're going to have a talk. but
yeah, I agree.
My next person is Mr. Jason Peters, the left tackle with the Chicago Bears. He is currently 39 years old. Do you think he could still be playing for another couple of years, or is it time for him to hang up the cleats?
Hang up the cleats. Hang up the cleats. I think, some of the more skilled positions, when I say that, wide receiver, running back, quarterback, when you're not getting hit or touched or in the middle of it in every play, you can extend your lifespan or your football years. But mm-hmm. when you're in the trenches and you're 39, mm-hmm. you've gotten a lot of hits and you've given a lot. And, you know, if I was his wife or his family or his sister at 39, I'm saying hang it up and let's move on and do something else. And I like mm-hmm. what you said about Adrian Peterson. If the decision is that you still, why can't you do something else? Yeah, at this time, mm-hmm. it's time to mature and elevate to a different type of lifestyle with a different career choice. You get old twice mm-hmm. when you play professional sports, but you can still make good decisions. And truly, you're still young in your 30s. I'd love to yep. be 30 again, or in my 30s, so like you are. So I agree with you. I like mm-hmm. what you said. Why not make other decisions? Why not do something different?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my mom said it best. She was like, the best time I had during my lifetime was in my 30s. I was having a ball. I was more stable, doing what I wanted to do, working where I would like to work, and having a blast. but for
I
Jason
completely
Peters,
agree with Mama. My 30s
but for
were off the chain. Yeah, go ahead.
But for Jason Peters, yeah, it's time to hang up those cleats. He should have hung up those cleats 2-3 years ago. I could see his decline when he was with the Eagles, you know, not able to block the speedy defensive ends or the linebackers coming up the gaps. He's not the same player. You know, he has his Super Bowl ring. What else he's looking to prove, I'm not exactly sure, but it's for him, it's definitely time, and he's way past his time. So definitely after this year, I'll be highly surprised if he re-signs with the Chicago Bears. Look, I love Jason Peters, especially what he did for my team. He was amazing. But we all know he was one of the best left tackles in history. Undrafted, I think he was undrafted, and in high school or college, he was a tight end first, I believe. But all you could do is time to let the young ones get up there now. So now this one's going to be interesting. So my next player is Mr. quarterback Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who is currently 44 years old. I did not know he was that old in the NFL. Still young, but NFL age is old. Can he skip
That's
playing?
Very
it's
old.
Time to hang up the cleats.
keep playing Tom Brady. I have become a Tom Brady fan. I couldn't stand him with the Patriots, but I'm not a Patriots fan or a Belichick fan. I'm thinking that maybe I should have been there because I've heard so much testimony from so many people about how he is just a loyal friend, and he's always making sure to call, to text, to be a part of your life and your children's life, saying happy birthday, whatever. So not only is he an excellent player, but he's a gentleman too, and seems to be a nice man. But let's talk about his ability on the field. He's still dominating at his position. Anybody's going to say that your rankings this year, maybe you would put Aaron Rodgers at one or Tom Brady at two, but that's easily reversible at any point on anybody's list as far as I'm concerned. And if he continues this type of play this year, then why not play again next year? I don't even think about it when I say, wow, is he going to retire at the end of the year like I do Big Ben? I expect to see him next year with no reservations. Play on Tom Brady for sure. He deserves that, and he's playing like he still sees the field very well. He still understands defenses. He still understands the game, and it's performing lights out.
I think Tom Brady should be the model for all quarterbacks coming up behind them, even some of the current ones in the NFL. There's such a big deal on having these mobile quarterbacks running out the pocket. You got to get escape, you know, be able to run, you know, like Lamar Jackson, 20 yards down the field, plus throw the ball. Tom Brady's been smart. He's not a mobile quarterback. He's not fast at all. He kept himself healthy. He stays right in that pocket, but he makes very smart, wise decisions with that football. If there's nothing there, throw the ball away. Why take a risk with me getting hit and next thing you know I'm getting injured, you know? So I think this has led to him being able to play up to 44 years old and still play at a high level. You know, I think that's very, very important, and a lot of these younger quarterbacks need to understand that. Just look at the RG3s of the world or the Carson Wentzes of the world. How many times have they escaped out of that pocket or was holding on to that football way too long? And look, RG3 is not even in the league anymore, and it's going to be many, many more of those quarterbacks that have that mindset that won't have a career as long as Tom Brady. Granted, besides the fact that Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game, but I do believe that helped to create his longevity in this league. But yes, I'm right with you. Play on. If you could play, like K Walk just said, if you could play till 50, play until, because he is showing. Y'all think I'm old? I'm going to show you something else. And he has. I think a couple times I've seen Tom Brady's run, and that was the slowest run I've ever seen, but he made it. So that's okay. But yes, Tom Brady, keep playing. And then the last person I'm going to go to, I don't know if we touched on this previously, but I want to touch on Mr. Quarterback Big Ben Roethlisberger with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Should he keep playing or hang up his cleats?
Brittany, I think Ben Roethlisberger is about 2 years behind. He should have retired a couple years ago. You know, and it's, you know why I say that, too, is because from a fan standpoint, and I've never been a Steelers fan, but I guess I'm a fan of football itself and the game, and he has played the game very well. But his performance level has taken a dive, but we still have the same expectations, and he's not there yet or there anymore. I thought he looked old last year. I think he looks real old this year. And I think the Steelers themselves need a overhaul of their roster. But I think we hung on to Roethlisberger way too long. And it's time for him to go. And I expect that this is definitely it for him and to move on to something else.
in the words of the new generation that they always say now, have several seats. Yes, I added one extra several in there. But he needs to have so many seats, it makes no sense. Look, Big Ben, you know, when he was a rookie, I believe he won a Super Bowl his rookie year. Then he, so many years later, he won a second one. And it's funny because he was Big Ben, but he used to be able to move. He was very mobile. Now he just looks stiff,
yeah.
Like it hurts when he moves.
Mm-hmm.
His accuracy is not the same. Like you said, his play has really took a drastic decline on this field. Some of his decision-making is not there. He is clearly not the same player. But I guess the Steelers are saying, hey, we really have no one behind you, clearly. And I guess he's just doing enough to allow the Steelers to be in playoff contention right now. But it's time for Big Ben to go. It's not the same. You hear me? I don't know if you can or not, but it's time to hang up the cleats, my brother. Gotta have several seats. Relax. Kick it with the little kiddies, you know, the wife if you're married, you know, go on ESPN. You're very famous, very popular. People love you. Some people don't love you, but that's their issue. But hang up those cleats. So what we're going to do now, guys, is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into some more football. Talk about a little bit more of the NBA because there was something amazing that happened not too long ago with the Lakers last night, and I actually did catch that game. But you guys are listening
you better catch it. I'm ready to talk about it.
Yes, I caught that game for you, Princess. But you guys are listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
You're listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Make sure to find us on Facebook at She Knows Sports and Instagram as the same. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Welcome back to She Knows Sports, so Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. I am Princess with my co-host, Brittany Jones. And give us a call if you want to talk about something in the world of sports, 347-637-3286. A shout-out to the Final Four for college volleyball. We got Wisconsin and Louisville going on right now, and then later on this evening is Pittsburgh and Nebraska. That is the Final Four for college volleyball. Also, Baker Mayfield and his number two quarterback, Case Keenum, they are both in COVID protocol. Also, Russell Westbrook just went into COVID protocol. Wow. And that is seeming to take over the NFL and the NBA right now. And Zion Williamson just got an injection in his foot. He will be out an additional 4 to 6 weeks before he's evaluated. And, Brittany, I've always said, I don't want to harp on this too much, that really big men like Shaq and Kareem and Yao Ming, you know, those big guys like that, they always seem to have problems with their feet and fractures in their legs and their feet, and that's what we're probably seeing right now. But, Brittany, I want to talk about the Lakers, too. I can't remember who they were playing because it really doesn't matter because the three-quarter vibe. The Mavericks, that's right, the Dallas Mavericks. And I thought the Dallas Mavericks looked good last night and kept that game tight, and I thought they were going to win. But give me your thoughts on Lakers Mavericks and the rookie hitting the three-pointer at the end to win it all.
I was I was really impressed, especially by the rookie. I think his name is Austin Reeves, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Just the confidence that he had and the trust from his team that they had in him to take that shot. He said, you know what, I'm going to just take this shot, and we're going to win this game. And sure enough, that's what that rookie did. But you know what, he actually had a very good game. He had about 15 points and 7 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, look, I know I'm a rookie, but hey, I've been playing this game since I was yay high, and I'm going to show y'all what I can do. And that's what he showed up and showed out. But no, I really, really enjoyed this game. It was definitely a back-and-forth game. Unfortunately, Luka Doncic wasn't playing. But, you know, LeBron comes up. He always does his thing. He does what he needs to do. Russell Westbrook actually had a decent game. I believe he had 23 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. He almost had his triple-double. And Anthony
mm-hmm.
Davis had about 20 points. I do have some concerns. My thing is Anthony Davis right now. You know, I already made my concerns about Russell Westbrook, and you have heard about it. They may be looking to trade Russell Westbrook, and I'm really not surprised at that at all. But that is a big rumor that they could possibly be looking to trade Westbrook. But Anthony Davis, to
mm-hmm.
me, it's just something's not there. You know, LeBron James, he's getting older. You know, he's trying to hand over the reins to Anthony Davis, and you could see he's like, AD, this is your team. Take it over. But the fact that LeBron James, he's still got to play over 40 minutes a game. That's a lot of minutes for someone who's 36, Gary, be 37 years old. You know, I'm pretty sure he just wants to be able to pass the reins over to Anthony Davis and have AD take over. But AD does not want to take over. I just feel like, I don't know. I could kind of see why the Pelicans were finally okay with letting him go. You know, he just, outside of that bubble, you know, because I honestly think the Lakers probably could have won the championship last year. They should probably be able to win the championship this year. Don't see that oomph in Anthony Davis. You know, you see it in Westbrook. You see it in LeBron James. I've never seen it in Anthony Davis as much as very talented. He's a talented player. He just doesn't have that X factor when you need him to have it. But overall, the game was amazing. And I was really, really excited. Something had to take me off of the Sixers losing to the Heat when the Heat had nobody. But that's a whole nother story anyway.
Yeah, you know, Kevin wanted us to – go ahead.
No, what did you guys say?
No, I was going to say, you know, Kevin wanted us to bring that up, that the Heat beat the 76ers, and they didn't have so-and-so. I'm not going to read off his whole list. But I want to go back, listeners, to what Brittany said about Anthony Davis. Now, I love my co-host, love her dearly, and I wouldn't do this show with anybody else. But I ain't buying none of that about AD at all. AD has had that same no emotional Tim Duncan kind of smooth hit the shot and go on and sit down. All of his he had that game with Kentucky Wildcats. He had that same, you know, not very flashy with the Pelicans, and he bringing that here. And LeBron can want to pass the torch, but even when it becomes 80s team, I don't think you're going to see much rah-rah from him anyway. That's just his game. And he can be dominant some nights, and some nights he can't. But maybe I should, you know, feel bad about his consistency. But the Lakers are who the Lakers are. And I think you kind of coach through regular season and you try to get to the playoffs and make a splash. You try to peak around March, April, and you head on into the playoffs. But I've never mm-hmm. seen any oomph from AD, so I'm not expecting any anytime soon for sure. Now, that's just not his game, Brittany. To me, that's not his game. That's not his emotional. He's never had that kind of level to me. Your thoughts before we move on.
Look, I'm not asking for you to have the Russell Westbrook scream every time you make a shot or dunk. No, but what I need from him is, like you said, the consistency. I think that's very vital
okay.
in the success of this team. That's very important. The team is struggling. Let's be real. They're not – I know they have a winning record, but what are they, 2 or 3 games above 500? 3 games above 500.
Yeah, the most.
So,
mm-hmm.
and I think if Anthony Davis just puts it in another gear when he's on that court, He's an unstoppable player when he's a consistent player and when he's 100% focused. You cannot guard. It's very difficult to guard him. He could shoot. He could take you in the post. He could actually dribble, take you off the dribble as a big man. He can rebound the ball. So he's a very talented player. I just need him to get into that second gear so that the Lakers can be in a playoff standing where they need to be. So they don't have to worry about going up against potentially up against the Phoenix Suns or the Warriors or whoever that top three teams are, because they should be right up there with the talent that they have on paper. But right now it's just not working. But I'm hoping throughout the season things will get better. Look, I'm not a Lakers fan, and everybody knows I'm not a Lakers fan, but I know what their potential can be if everybody plays up to what they're supposed to play up to.
Mm-hmm. All I need for them to do is to tread around that 5, 6, 7, 8 spot and get into the playoffs. And even if they get into the playoffs and lose in the first series, all out, you know what? I'm still going off of their championship 2 years ago. I'm good. You guys do whatever you want with the Lakers and Russ and Westbrook and all of that. We got a championship 2 years ago. I'd love to see them do one more before LeBron goes, but I'm just being selfish, really.
Princess, 2 years ago?
At this point.
It's a what
two
have
years
you
ago.
Done for me now? So that
no,
means with
that's,
the Eagles,
that's your
can
generation.
I say 3 years ago?
You can say whatever you want to say. That's your generation that wants whatever you do. I'm still basking in the glory from 2 years ago. Go Lakers. It doesn't even matter.
I'm pretty sure they do not want that 7th and 8th seed, because if not, they're going to be going up against potentially against those Warriors with Klay Thompson coming back. They're going to get embarrassed.
But see, that's all you heard was the 7th and 8th. I said 5, 6, 7, and 8, so I really want them. I don't want them to be in that 7, 8. But see, all you heard was 7th and 8. Let's see if we can get some Urban Meyer conversation in before we take our next break. Your thoughts, you, I think, were the first one to put it in our thread this morning at 6:48. Shout out to young people being up early. I love that. But when you saw it, what were your thoughts?
I wasn't that surprised, to be honest with you. I know there.
Yeah.
Maybe I thought they would have waited until the end of the season. But just from the things that Urban Meyer has done during the course of this entire season, and I truly don't believe it was just because the team was 2-11. How many new coaches, first-year head coaches in the NFL had a losing record like that their first year? A lot of them, because it takes time for you to implement your team, basically, your playbook, so forth. I really honestly believe there were other things that were going on that the Jaguars said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. You represent us, and your representation or your image right now is not what we are looking for to represent our organization whatsoever. You know, for instance, one of the biggest red flags was when he first got hired. I believe he hired Chris Doyle. I believe that's his name. As director of sports performance out of Iowa in 2020. But Chris Doyle was on administrative leave. Yeah, from administrative leave for mistreating players based on race. That's strike one. That's a big strike, in my opinion. You know, the majority of your players most likely doesn't look like a Chris Doyle, you know? So why would you bring that already into the locker room? So that's a big problem for me. The second one is he kicked the kicker, I believe. You know, the kicker came out and said, Jaguar kicker came out and said that Urban Meyer kicked them in a preseason practice. Highly inappropriate. If my boss put their hands on me, we're going to have World War III up in here. You're not going to do that. Don't put your hands on me. You can say what you like to me in a professional, respectful way. Put your hands, your feet, your toe, your nail, whatever. Don't put your hands on me. That's very unnecessary. And then the film with him out in, where is it, Ohio, when he was at the bar with the young lady having some sort of a dance, and you're a married man. Again, I don't know what's going on in your personal life. Maybe that's acceptable. I'm not sure. But the point is, you're supposed to be a leader of these men on your football team. And he has shown example after example after example that he is not the leader of the NFL squad. So I'm not surprised. So, I mean, most likely he's going to get a job back in college where he'll probably do excel very well.
Well, I'm glad that Jacksonville, the Jaguars, did something because they could have just rode this out and with a 2-10 season with, what, you know, 4 more games to go, they could have just suspended him and brought him back next year, and the media cycle would have forgotten all about it. But as far as I'm concerned, he reeks of arrogance. I said that today. And in our thread, our sports thread, I said he couldn't have kicked anybody of any substance, because if he kicked all the people that I know, he wouldn't have lived to kick anybody else. You just don't do that. That's some arrogance. I don't care. That means you're looking down on people for sure. And I hope that college football and the NFL thinks twice before they put him back in that position. Obviously, he's not an NFL coach. He did tweet today and say that losing hurts to your soul. And I can get that from that point of view because he's not used to losing. He's had a winning formula at Utah when he was an assistant at Notre Dame, when he was a head coach at Bowling Green, then the University of Florida, then Ohio State. I don't think he lost 6 games at Ohio State in 6 years. So, but then he gets this position, and they just didn't start talking about Urban Meyer at Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, this year. In January, Urban Meyer said last Super Bowl he talked to the ownership and they were going to make a change in a year or so. So he wanted this, and then he got in it, and it was not what he thought it was going to be. And you can't treat a man disrespectfully, and you're a man too. You can't do that. These aren't little boys. And some of that came back. And I thought about this today, and I'm going to let this go, is that maybe Urban Meyer continued to do foolish things because he did want out, you know, and the only way, I mean, it wouldn't have looked good if he just quit. So the only other option is to be fired. But how embarrassing for the Meyer family, how embarrassing for his wife to have to endure him staying behind after the team loses and getting a lap dance, because that's exactly, I love it that you were so nice with that, doing whatever. That was a lap dance, and he was enjoying it. And he's a married man with, you know, with family. And but I thought his choices this year culminated to this point, and that is being fired.
But you know what? If he happened to do all these things to get himself fired, I have a major problem with that. Because that tells me you're giving up on your team. Just because your team is struggling, just because Trevor Lawrence may be struggling, they're not doing as well as used to. Your team's doing well. It's a new league. It's a new time. Give it time. You don't give up on your players if that is the reason behind it. And honestly, if that's the type of person he is, I wouldn't want to work with him at all. At all. So he needs to have, along with Ben Roethlisberger, have several daggone seats. Sit down somewhere and get some sense. Please, please.
Well, I agree with you there. But stranger things have happened. And people do strange things to get out of strange situations. And once the losses start, you know, compiling, you know, everybody thinks that they can go in and do better. But, you know, it's what you do when trouble comes. It's what you do when the losses do pile up, and what he did wasn't cool. So there's a part of me that has seen his MO, and I think maybe he just continued to do whatever he wanted to do and get mad and talk to coaches anyway the way he wanted to and ask them for their resume because he was a winner and he was indicating that they won. If you're talking to your assistants like that, you've lost the locker room. You've lost the players and you've lost the coaches. And that ended up, he is being fired. So, Brittany, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about Deion Sanders. be flipped the number one player in the nation. And I'd heard about the young man. Of course, you know who's number one, but I did not know that Deion was behind the scenes working his magic.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break right here. Never had it so good, Sports Talk Radio. We will be right back with CNO Sports with Brittany and Princess.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
It's Never Had It So Good. She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess is every Thursday at 7 p.m. Give us a call if you have a sports question at 347-637-3286. Kevin Walker says, losing brings out your true character. If that happens, then Irvin has an ugly character and considers himself arrogant for sure, or that's what I consider him. Kenneth Walker, the running back from Michigan State that I was talking about earlier that I thought should be maybe at that one of the finalists in New York for the Heisman Trophy. He has entered the NFL draft. He's put his name in there, so he's not going to come back for his senior season with the Michigan State Spartans. So we're going to get back into this. I want to talk about Deion Sanders and Mr. Hunter. Travis Hunter, as a matter of fact, who was committed to FSU, and that is Deion Sanders' alma mater. That's where he came out as defensive back and headed to, if I'm not mistaken, the Atlanta Falcons. But Deion is now the head coach for Jackson State, sorry about that. And he flipped this young man to a HBCU. How big is that to you, Brittany? Does that make any sense to you? Deion said, I didn't promise him anything, but it is out there that he has an NIL deal coming for $1 million from Barstools. Your thought, Brittany?
This done changed the recruiting game. I will absolutely say that. This has put HBCUs on notice. But Deion Sanders said that. I don't know if anybody can remember when he signed on for Jackson State. He said, I want some of these high-profile players coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start recruiting them, and we're going to put the HBCUs on top. Or not on top, but, you know, we're going to have them compete with some of the big boys out there. And that's what he's doing. He is keeping to his word, and he did it with Travis Hunter, big-time cornerback.
Yeah.
And the fact that Deion Sanders player to decommit from his old school. Now, see, that's what got me. You know, Deion Sanders said, look, I'm loyal to you guys. I appreciate you guys. I had a good career in college, but I'm going to go ahead and take this player here, and I'm going to show him how to play, how to get to this NFL, and I'm going to do it the right way. You know, so I respect Deion Sanders because he's really trying to help these HBCUs, and he has said it time and time again. A lot of great players came from HBCUs that are future Hall of Famers or currently Hall of Famers in the NFL. And for some reason, HBCUs just somehow got forgotten about, which I don't know why. You know, I mean, I could put my finger on it, but I won't say it. But I was happy. I did see the press conference, and the way the young man did it was funny to me. He had the three hats and threw them all out and zipped down his coat, and there was Jackson State. So, you know, this is exciting. I'm excited, actually, because I'm really curious to see what Jackson State is now going to do. And then you're going to have other HBCUs, you know, Tennessee State. I believe Eddie George is over there. And there's a few other ones that's starting to get former NFL players to be their head coach. So they're going to show them the way, and I can respect that, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the recruiting machine can continue into more dollars for HBCUs, into better facilities for HBCUs, because the process is not going to flip unless you can make it more attractive and show that you are a lucrative school with a lucrative program, with nice facilities, with the medical staff that can actually take care of them also. And the second thing is that Deion wanted to be, I'm sorry, I don't mean to disrespect him, Coach Sanders wanted to be the head coach at FSU, and they didn't think that he was ready for that. They told him he needed to go be a coordinator or go be a coach somewhere else and then come back. And he's showing him what he's made of. But I also think that Coach Sanders, 11-1 this year, headed to the Celebration Bowl on December 18th, which is this Sunday. I don't think he's going to be an HBCU coach for long. The success will get attraction, and then he'll move up to one of those Power Fives. But I do hope that this is an eye-opener for young men who want to be committed. You don't necessarily have to go to a Power Five, but I also hope it's a motivator for HBCUs to improve their facilities, improve their fields, improve their medical staff, and make it where the top players who are African-American will want to go to African-American schools. And I went to one, shout out to my college, Spelman College. I'm so proud and so glad that I went there first before I headed on to the University of Florida. But this does, I agree with you, this at least gets them on the map to say there's possibilities. You know, it's never been done before, and Deion shocked the world. But his conversation is going to eventually leave and go to a Power Five. Can we have somebody step in and continue this train? That's what I'm concerned about, for sure. Well, Brittany, we don't have much time. I think I wanted to mention one other thing, and that is the Thursday night game. Give me your pick before we do our Woman of the Week. The Chiefs versus the Chargers, who you got in this divisional matchup? I think Mahomes is 11-0 in divisional games.
As much as I would like to say the Chargers, I have nothing against the Chiefs, but the Chiefs, I feel like it's going to take this. I just think they're just too strong. They're not as dominant as past years. I just don't think the Chargers are ready to take that next step just yet. I think Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, along with Travis Kelce, and Travis Kelce the last couple games has been showing up and showing out, being the first, I believe, tight end in NFL history, I believe, to have over 150 yards or less, at least 150 yards in each game. I just don't think Justin Herbert, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen will be able to compete with that. Not right now. I think they're coming up, though. But I'm going to say the Chiefs, 30-23.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go with your decision there and your score. The Chiefs are on a six-game winning streak, and I think they have found their mojo. It was lost for a moment, but and they're not as dominant as they were in the past couple of years, but they still have some oomph there, and I think they found their stride, and I think they're peaking at the right time. Chiefs, and I would say 30-24, somewhere around there. Brittany, the floor is yours for your Woman of the Week.
So my Woman of the Week, I don't know if she's very known just yet, but she's coming up. You know, it's a little different for me, but I recently read this article, and it just amazed me. Her name is Kenesha Jackson, and she's actually from Texas, and she is an African-American cowgirl, which is very interesting. So she is the third generation rodeo of champions. She started riding horses at about 3 years old, and she is making her mark on the national stage as one of the most prominent riders in Texas and then beyond. So she is the winner of the all-around cowgirl at the Bill Prickett Invitational Rodeo. She's also the first female rider to rank in the top 30 of the Cowboy Professional Rodeo Association, and now she is working on becoming the first African-American woman to qualify for the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. But that's not it, you guys. That's not it. Not only is she doing it, But her 11-year-old daughter, Courtney Solomon, is
wow.
the youngest. She is the fourth generation, but she is one of the fastest rising child stars. And she is also a Bill Prickett Invitational Rodeo Champion and the Junior Barrel Racing, the Junior Breakaway Champion. And she is the 2019 PIR, that's the abbreviation, Rookie Cowgirl. So technically I've had kind of had two, one and a half women of the week, I guess you could say, with Kenesha Jackson mm-hmm. and Courtney Solomon.
That is powerful right there. I'm going to have to go back and read their bios and read their story. A shout out to the women that we are just uplifting in our own little 5-10 minutes here. Just excited about that. And my woman of the week, and it's because I've always wanted to be like her when I grow up, even though she's younger, and that's Jemele Hill. And I've watched her and just fell in love with her on ESPN for sure. But I just wanted to talk about her just a little bit. She is a Detroit native, and her alma mater is Michigan State and the Spartans. But she said that she was always a writer, for sure. Mm-hmm. And let me get here to her because I really want to do her justice.
I will say she is one of my idols.
She said,
and she is going
yeah.
to say what she wants to say. She ain't scared of nobody.
Man,
and I love that about her.
She can say it very well. She said she was born and raised in Detroit, the real Detroit, not the suburban Detroit, she says. She said she was a huge tomboy growing up, and her favorite sport was baseball. She said when she was 9, the Detroit Tigers won the World Series in 1984, and that is one team that she still cheers for today. She said she was a writer, and then in her junior year, she had one class, an elective she had to take, and she picked journalism. And she said that was the best decision they ever made. And from there, her career took off. She went into journalism at Michigan State. And then I got to know her once she got on ESPN. And I love that show with her and Mr. Smith. And I love that show today. And then, you know, of course, she got into a little trouble because she stood up and said, Donald Trump is a racist. And ESPN eventually said, that's enough. Move on. She's now doing her thing with her own blog, her own podcast. And she's written for a lot of different entities. She's writing for The Atlantic now. She actually has her podcast on Spotify. But Jemele Hill really caught my eye because it reminded me yesterday. She wrote the article. It says, our young athletes and change
mm-hmm.
the power struggle, change the power level,
mm-hmm.
change that where it sits. And she said, if the talent switches over, then who's the power five now? We become the power.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that article and how she talked about it. And we have to, all I can say this, a shout out to Jemele Hill for making us think, but also a shout out to our people and saying, let's think forward. Let's think about our financial
mm-hmm.
future. Let's think about how we can elevate that and how we can change that around. And Jemele Hill started that with me a long time ago, about 5 or 6 years ago when she was on ESPN, and I've followed her since then. And I want to give her some elevation and just say thank you for making me want to do better in this field of media, journalism, and podcasting. So Jemele Hill, one of my idols for sure, and I think I got 10 years on her, but that's okay. I want to be like her.
Absolutely. And like you said, let's reach out and help one another and reach, what was it? You reach one, you teach one. Educate one another and watch what we do that, how we grow as people and the power that we're truly, truly capable of. We haven't even tapped into it. But once we understand that and really get behind that, there's no limit to the possibilities, no limit to the possibilities at all. And Jemele Hill has showed that, and she continues to fight for that.
Mm-hmm. If we're so fortunate to take that elevator all the way to the top and reach the mountain for sure, make sure we send that elevator back down and reach somebody else and bring them up with us. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
Information is worth keeping. Share it with people because my destiny is my destiny. What God has for me is for me. So give people information, provide and mentor young women and young men. Mentor and give back for sure.
Exactly.
Brittany, I love doing this with you. It is Friday Eve. Tomorrow starts the weekend for me just a little bit, and I'm excited about what we're doing on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio and She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess. Brittany, have a great weekend.
Have a good night. Thank you, Princess.
Awesome, awesome. Shout out to Kevin for listening. Never Had It So Good and She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess.